You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Next up, why airplanes fly? Now, I mean, is there any doubt of why they fly? If there's some doubt, how do we know how to build them? I mean, why do they stay up in the air if we don't know? Or maybe, well, it turns out that the textbook explanation of what keeps a heavier than aircraft in the air is really more mythology than science. And in fact, engineers, as we'll find out, they don't even use that textbook explanation when they're designing an airplane. But teachers continue to teach it, and you can continue to hear that classic explanation over and over again. Someone who is trying to bring that explanation up to date is with us now, Dr. David Anderson. He is co-author, along with Dr. Scott Eberhardt, of Understanding Flight, published by McGraw-Hill in the year 2000. He was for many years a physicist at Fermi National Accelerator, the Fermi Lab in Batavia, Illinois, and he joins us now from Driggs, Idaho. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Anderson.
Hello.
Hi there. Let's talk about your, is it wrong to call it a crusade of telling people why airplanes fly?
No, it's not a crusade, but when you finally get it straight, then it's more like putting down an annoyance.
Let's talk about that annoyance. Let's talk about the classical explanation of why airplanes fly. It's been taught for 50 years. Go through that with us.
Okay, well, there isn't a clear single description. The most common I'll call the popular description, mm-hmm. Which is based on the shape of the wing. It's sometimes jokingly referred to as hump theory. The wing is asymmetric with a hump on the top. Air accelerates over the top, and then using Bernoulli's theorem, which connects pressure and velocity, mm-hmm. we get a lowering of the pressure above the wing, and we have lift. That's the explanation.
Right.
And I might point out, okay.
What's wrong with that? When you actually, it says that the wing on the air has to travel faster over the top of the wing than it does on the bottom so that the particles arrive at the same time.
Well, that's the often taught but the most naive explanation. The problem is to say that the air accelerates over the wing causing the reduction in pressure, and the air does accelerate over the wing, and the pressure is reduced. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong is that's a blatant violation of Newton's first law.
Uh-huh.
Newton's first law says the body at rest will remain at rest, and a body at motion will continue in straight-line motion unless acted on by a force. You can't have a non-force acceleration. It's the force that accelerates the air, not the acceleration of the air that produces the lowering of the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what's wrong with the explanation of the Bernoulli principle. In your book, you said that if you measure the distance of the top of the wing and the bottom of the wing of a very common airplane, like a Cessna, 172, the common training airplane, that you only get a difference in of 1.5% of the distance. And for a plane to use Bernoulli to take off, it would have to fly at 400 miles per hour just for that pressure difference.
Yes, that's to use the equal transit time.
Right.
Some people soften it and they say, well, it just has to go farther so it goes faster, and then the aeronautical engineering textbooks don't give you an explanation.
I see.
Okay, but
So what is the real explanation then?
Well, first let me just kill the popular explanation just a little bit.
Good. I like that.
Okay, well, since the most explanations, and there are many, fixate on the shape of the wing, it'll sound like heresy to say that the lift on a wing has nothing to do with the shape.
Hmm.
The shape affects the efficiency and it affects the stall characteristics. But if you were to take any ensemble of wings and the same ensemble inverted and a barn door and tilt them all into the air such that there was no lift, it's zero lift, we'll call that 0 degrees effective angle of attack for argument. And then if you were to plot the lift as a function of angle of attack into the wind of all these wings upside down in the barn door, and then correct your data for the area and the aspect ratio, that's the length of the wing divided by its mean width, they would all have exactly the same slope, 2 pi in some engineering units. All those wings have exactly the same length lift at the same angle of attack.
So it doesn't matter what. It could be your hand out the car window. It could be a garbage can flying like a wing. It doesn't matter what shape it's going to be.
Yes, provided it's reasonably flat.
So what then is the critical factor in getting that air over the wing and moving it in the direction? And what does cause the left on the wing then?
Okay, I think it's best to start with the kind of gross aspects of lift on a wing. We all know how a rocket works, a skyrocket. Gas shoots out the hind end, the rocket goes forward. A jet engine works exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a propeller, you stand behind a propeller. When they start up the engine, it blows your hat off. And you look, we've all seen helicopters hovering over, say, water or dust, and clearly the helicopter is supporting itself by blowing a great deal of air down.
Right.
Well, the propeller on an airplane and the rotor on a helicopter are just rotating wings. So, in fact, a wing moving through the air is diverting a great deal of air actually straight down.
And so we're not under it. We can't feel that air like we
no.
could in a helicopter.
That's right. But I've seen pictures. There's a particular one of a Spitfire flying above the lawn, and shortly after it leaves, you can see the air being crushed down behind it.
Now, what forces then the air down from the, you know, from the wing? What is the wing doing to force the air down?
Well, it's pulling it down, really. Actually, the lift of a wing is from above. There is a popular Newtonian view of lift where the air hits the bottom of the wing and is diverted down, and that produces lift, and that's not true either.
It's like the wing, BBs would be shooting in the wing and then down, but that doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't intercept enough air.
Yeah.
A barn door, that kind of lift actually contributes significantly, but for a modern wing, it's almost zero.
Right.
Okay, what happens is, the air flows, if you look at the airflow where the wing is standing still and the air is moving, and we all know the pictures, the air comes and flows over the wing.
Right.
Okay, first the question is, why does it follow the wing and not separate?
Yes.
Well, first, viscosity. And aeronautical engineers think that they work without viscosity, but in their calculations, they put their constraint that the air has to follow the wing, and then there's a thing called a CUDA condition, which means it has to come off smoothly at the edge, trailing edge.
Mm-hmm.
Those are actually reintroductions of viscosity. So they use viscosity too. But what happens is there's a boundary layer on the wing. The air that's right up against the surface of the wing has zero velocity. That's why you can't hose dust off your car with a hose. The water has no velocity at the surface.
Huh.
Just above that, the streamline just above that has a non-zero velocity, and then above that faster and faster and faster until you come to some kind of free stream or local free stream velocity. Now, what happens is, if you look at two streamlines going different speeds but adjacent, the one that's going faster is pulled down or pulled toward the slower one by shear forces, and this actually sucks the air around the top of the wing.
Hmm. So the wing actually draws the air downward.
Yes. Well, what happens is, this is boundary layer. The air above the boundary layer can't go straight ahead either because, with the forces involved in normal flight, you can consider the air an incompressible fluid. Okay?
All right, let me see if I can come up with an analogy here.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it described this way. If you have a glass of milk, you know, and you have a cup of coffee, and you want to pour the milk out of the glass into the coffee, what happens? It dribbles down the side of the glass, right, and drips out the bottom.
Or
because of the viscosity of the milk on the glass going down the bottom.
Yeah, that's why you have to design pitchers carefully.
Right. Or when we have water coming down your arm, it goes down past your elbow because it follows the curve of your elbow down. That's what's happening on the wing. The air is following the curve of that wing like it does the water, the milk on your glass.
Yes, and that's sometimes called the Kawanda effect, but it's basically viscosity.
Viscosity.
Yeah.
And so the more air you can force down, the greater the lift on the wing is going to be.
Yes, it's really, you know, I like to use pull down because people keep wanting to picture it hitting the bottom.
I see.
In fact, what happens is, after the boundary layer, the next streamline above, it can't go straight because if it did, there'd be a vacuum between the two. So it lowers the pressure and pulls that streamline down, which lowers the pressure and pulls the next streamline down, and this propagates out at about the speed of sound.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about why airplanes fly this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. And so it is Newton's third law of motion. The air goes down, the plane goes up.
Yeah. Newton's first law says to bend the air, you have to put a force on the air. Mm-hmm. And Newton's third law says for every action, there has to be an equal and opposite reaction. So if you bend the air down, that's putting a downward force on the air, and there has to be an equal and opposite upward force on the wing, and that's mm-hmm. lift.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of lift is Newton's second law. Depending on the mass of the air going down, the more mass you have, faster it goes, the higher, the more force of lift on the wing.
That's right.
And that's how airplanes fly.
Well, yes.
Let me go to the phones. 1-800-998-8255 is our number. Let's go to a sailor in Nantucket. Hi, sailor in Nantucket. Is it at?
AT.
Hey there.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
I was wondering, a friend of mine was just in the car and he left. He has the real explanation, but he explains sailing, how a sail works, is also through the Bernoulli principle. And I was wondering if this effect also applied to sailing.
Dave?
I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks.
Okay. A sail is just a wing. If you look, when the air is bent around, I won't use a jib, just a regular sail. The air is bent around the top side of the sail. The force put on the mast or on the sail is perpendicular to the direction the air came. And then your keel is another wing, and it flies through the water, and the elevator, which controls the pitch of an airplane, is your rudder. And that force is perpendicular to the direction of the boat's going. And so you add these two arrows, these two vectors, and it gives you a vector that goes straight down the center of the boat. But it's the same thing. The air hits the sail. It is forced to bend around the sail. That lowers the pressure, and that draws the sail forward. It's
great.
Exactly the same physics.
Carl in Wichita. Hi, Carl.
Hello there, Ira. Great topic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, here in Wichita, the air capital, I work for a large aircraft manufacturer. I'm also a certified flight instructor. I think this is great, solid science. It's great to hear other principles other than Bernoulli, which, you know, we've been teaching for years and years. My only comment is getting the FAA to buy off on this as far as what is legitimate for us to teach our students.
Are they still make to teach Bernoulli?
Yes, they do, actually.
And they still say the ground effect is air building up between the wing and the ground. And if I were taking the test, I would tell them anything they wanted to hear.
And that's what and we tell our students.
That's the right advice, I think.
Thank you. Great topic, guys.
Thanks a lot. So what is the ground effect, then, if it's not the air cushioning the wing?
Well, that's a little more complicated. But there is, if you really look at the flow of air over a wing, we often see pictures in NASA websites and the Cessna flight manual where the air comes on straight ahead, goes around the wing, and goes off straight. Well, that wing doesn't have lift. But it's what happens is if you really look, it really comes from below. And then so the air has to bend up. And so by Newton's first law, that's saying there's a downward, an upward force on the air and a downward force on the wing. And this adds say for a Cessna, about a 25% increase in load on the wing and a 50% increase in power required for flight. But when you get down near the ground, this is due to a thing called circulation. It's cut off by the ground. It reduces the load. And so there's a 50% reduction in load on the wing, and so you're more efficient.
Now, Dave, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us. Dave Anderson, and thank you for this book. Dave has written this book, has co-authored this book called Understanding Flight. It's put out by McGraw-Hill. And if you really want to go through all of this, he goes through all the details of how this is a really great explanation. He's co-author with Dr. Scott Eberhard, Understanding Flight. It's on our website. And thanks for writing it for us, Dave, because I've been talking about this for years and can't get anybody to listen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
Kevin Wade is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galek and Paul Masiello and Rico Cardi here in New York. We had help today from NPR librarians Kim Molesky, Alphonse Finn, Greg Smith composed our theme music. I'll stop rushing. And if you want to send us email, you can write to Science Friday. Also, you can send us classic mail at 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. And also, we have past editions of Science Friday at our website, sciencefriday.com. And you can listen to the show. If you missed a piece of it, just go back and listen on Real Audio or download them on your Audible player. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly. Pack up. Let's fly away.